I want to speak to you about war and empire. The killing, or at least the worst of it, is over in Iraq. Although the blood will continue to spill, theirs and ours. Be prepared for this. For we are embarking on an occupation that, if history is any guide, will be as damaging to our souls as it will be to our prestige and power and security. But this will come later. And listen to the talk about Syria and tremble. For like hungry bloodhounds excited by the scent of blood, we may mow down Syria next. Our empire expands. And in all this, we become pariahs, tyrants to others weaker than ourselves. Isolation always impairs judgment, and we are very isolated now. We have forfeited the goodwill, the empathy the world felt for us after 9/11. We have folded in on ourselves. We have damaged, if not broken, the delicate and vital international coalitions and alliances that have maintained and promoted peace. And we are part of a dubious troika in the war against terror with Vladimir Putin and Ariel Sharon, two leaders who do not shrink in Palestine or Chechnya from carrying out acts of gratuitous and senseless violence. We have become the company we keep. The censure and perhaps the rage of much of the world, certainly one-fifth of the world's population, which is Muslim, most of whom, I will remind you, is not Arab, is upon us. And this rage, in a world where almost 50% of the planet lives on less than $2 a day, while we wallow in affluence, will see us targeted again. Terrorism will become a way of life. And when we are attacked, we will, I fear, like our allies Putin and Sharon, lash out with a great fury. The cycle of violence is a death spiral from which no one escapes, and we are spinning now at a speed we may not be able to halt. As we revel in our military prowess, the sophistication of our military hardware and technology, for this is what most of the press coverage consisted of, we lose sight of the fact that just because we have the capacity to wage war does not give us the right to wage war. This capacity has doomed empires in the past, and I doubt we will be any exception. Modern Western civilization may perish, the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr wrote, because it falsely worshipped technology as a final good. The real injustices, the Israeli occupation of Palestinian land, the brutal and corrupt dictatorships we fund and arm in Egypt and Saudi Arabia, mean we will not get rid of the extremists who hate us with bombs. Indeed, we will swell their ranks. We need courage now, but not the courage to use force, but the courage to be vulnerable. Once you master people by force, you depend on force for control. In your isolation, you make mistakes. Fear engenders cruelty, cruelty, fear, insanity, and then paralysis. In the center of Dante's circle, the damned remained motionless. We have blundered into a nation we know little about, are caught between bitter rivalries and competing ethnic groups and leaders we do not understand. We are trying to transplant a modern system of politics invented in Europe, characterized, among other things, by the division of the earth into independent secular states based on national citizenship in a land where the modern belief in a secular civil government is an alien creed. Iraq was a cesspool for the British when they occupied it in 1917. It will be a cesspool for us as well. I hear the echoes of the doomed British occupation already. Listen to the new message to the citizens of Baghdad. Please avoid leaving your homes during night hours after evening prayers and before the call to morning prayers. During this time, terrorist forces associated with the former regime of Saddam Hussein, as well as various criminal elements, are known to move through the area. Please do not leave your homes during this time. During all hours, please approach coalition military positions with extreme caution. The curfew imposed by the 1st Marine Division, the military governor, the Christian evangelical groups who are being allowed to follow on the heels of occupying troops to teach Muslims about Jesus. The occupation of the oil fields, the notion that the Kurds and Shiites will listen to the demands of a centralized government in Baghdad. They died by the tens of thousands in defiance of Saddam Hussein, a man who happily butchered all those who defied him. And this defiance has not vanished. It remains. The looting of Baghdad, or let me say, the looting of Baghdad, with the exception of the oil ministry and the interior ministry, the only two ministries we bothered protecting, is a form of self-immolation. It smacks of a bad farce, a black Gilbert and Sullivan opera that could be humorous if it did not need so many corpses